Welcome to the Landmark Podcast. I'm Jason Calhoun, pastor of Landmark Pentecostal Church in Texarkana, Texas. We encourage you to visit us on the web at landmarkupc.net for a schedule of services and upcoming events. We pray that you are blessed by the message today. Thank you again for listening. Matthew chapter 27. Again, I want to say how delighted we are for each of you being with us here today in the house of God. Please come back tonight for the drama presentation. We're going to have a great time, and folks have practiced and worked, and we appreciate all of those that have led in this and helped with this. Sister Vivian has really worked many hours and very hard in the cast, and I appreciate it so much. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 50. We're just sort of breaking into the narrative here, but I think most of us are familiar with this story. And so we'll begin with verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Go with me, if you would, to Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3 and verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. Time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. Verse 7. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. I want to direct you to that first statement in verse 7. It simply says, a time to rend. A time to rend. Turn to somebody and say, a time to rend. Praise God. Let's lift up our voices to the Lord this morning and let's pray that God would bless and have his way in this service today. How many needs him? How many desires him? Why don't you lift up your voice along with us and let's pray together. God, we're asking you to move. We're asking you on this Easter Sunday to have your way in this place, touching the lives and hearts of people that have gathered in this room this morning. We know that there's all types of needs and situations that exist here. More than anything, we know that you're able to minister to them all. And I pray, God, that you would do the work that no man can do. You would save and that you would deliver and set free. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And let's again give praise to the Lord. Oh, let's do it like he's alive this morning. Let's do it with all of our hearts today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for standing, and you may be seated. The word rend means to separate or to tear apart suddenly and forcibly. And we may ask the question here this morning, would it ever be appropriate, or would there ever be an appropriate time for something to be rent in our personal lives? It seems that the majority of our focus is upon repairing, in restoration, in sowing, and bringing things back together again. Yet the Bible is very emphatic in this passage that I read to you today that there is a proper time. There is an appropriate time to rend. In our text in Matthew chapter 27, we all know that this is the scriptural setting of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And as a nation, as the people of God, over the last few days, we've been reflecting on this time. And after enduring six grueling hours on the cross, the scripture tells us that he gave up the ghost. And simultaneously with this event, the veil that had hung in the temple for generations, that veil was rent. The veil that had separated, the veil that had divided, the veil that had hindered the common man from ever being afforded the opportunity to enter into that holy place where the glory of God was. That veil was rent, the Bible says, at Jesus' death. And this was symbolic of the fact that there would no longer be a separation between God and man. There would no longer have to be a division between God and man. And the Jews, with their insight, they know this about this particular event. They say that there is a special reason why that it says that it was rent from top to bottom. They say that this is symbolic of Jesus, or it is symbolic rather of God coming down to man. But no matter how we view this, it was supernatural to be sure. It was not by human hands or human intervention. And as I considered the impact of this and the power of this passage and what it meant, I could not help but think this morning, if there has ever been a time when the veil that separates people from God should be rent, that time is now. Whatever that veil represents in your life, whether it's a veil of shame, whether it's a veil of guilt, whether it be a veil of discouragement, despondency, depression, whether it be a veil of condemnation because of past sin, whether it be a veil of simple pride, maybe it's false doctrine or heresy, maybe it's doubt or unbelief, perhaps it is past hurts and fears and worries and anxieties that keep you, that separate you from the presence of God. But can I state to you this morning on this Resurrection Sunday that it's time for that veil to be rent in your life. Amen. That veil that says that you're not qualified. That veil that says that you're not worthy. That veil that says that you cannot enter in. That veil that does not give you access that you need this morning to the presence of the Lord. Can I tell you that that veil can be rent in your life before this service is over? Can somebody say amen? A few years ago, my family and I had the opportunity to go to the Holy Land, and one of the highlights of that trip, of course, was going to visit the old temple site, and really the only remnant that is left there is the Western Wall, or better known as the Wailing Wall. And we just happened to be there on the Sabbath, and when the Jews celebrate their Sabbath day, and it was an interesting sight to see as all of those people came from their various neighborhoods and joined together. And there was just a mob of people that came down to say their prayers at that wall. And it was also very interesting when we made our appointment and our visit to that wall, how that there were certain parts of it that was segregated off. And And actually, I was told that there are certain areas where you can go even beyond what the public is allowed to. And you have to be led by people that are qualified and people that are rabbis. And I begin to consider that and how that now I serve a God that can be accessed, that I can enter into His presence at any time that I'm hungry, any time that I so desire, any time that I want, I can enter into the presence of the Lord. That no longer is His presence cordoned off. No longer is there obstacles that are there. But if I come with humility, and if I come with a hungry heart, and if I come with a sincere desire, that I can find my way into the presence of Almighty God. And I am preaching to someone that you desire to access His presence. You desire some way before this service concludes today to get in touch and in contact with God. And I come to reassure you that you can do that this morning. We're not talking about a God that is aloof. We're not talking about a God that is austere. We're not talking about a God that's got a hand up in your face that says you cannot enter. We're talking about a God that says, come unto me all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, I'm thankful that I know what that rest is. I'm thankful that I know what that comfort is. I'm thankful that I know the Comforter this morning. Through the power of the Holy Ghost, if you're worried, if you're fearful, if you're suffering attacks upon your mind, you're in the right place this morning. We're in the presence of God. He can be accessed here today. Oh, let's lift up our hands and give praise to the Lord this morning. I couldn't help but think about those of old times. Wonder if that veil ever caused someone to feel less than. If that veil ever caused someone to feel unaccepted, rejected, unpermitted, to feel unworthy. When on the other side of that veil was the glory of God. And I know we talk about the glory of God a lot and the visitations from the Lord and being in the glory of the Lord. And sometimes I feel like some of our church terminology, folks that are not raised in or around the church and maybe are not familiar with that of what the glory of God is. And so I found what I thought was the best definition for that. And that was that the glory of God encompassed all the attributes of God. And when you come into the glory of the Lord, it's the manifestation of all the attributes of God. Can I tell you that in the presence of the Lord, in the glory of God, there's perfect peace. In a world that is filled with chaos, and a world that is disillusioned about a lot of things, and a world that is confused, can I tell you that in the presence of the Lord, in the glory of God, there is perfect peace. The Bible described it this way. It said it is peace that passeth all understanding. It's hard to get your mind around living in this world, but there is peace in the presence of Almighty God. The Bible talks about the Holy Ghost. It said it's righteousness and peace. Amen. In the Holy Ghost. We try to get right ourselves, and there's a lot of programs, and there's a lot of religiosity that goes into that. There's a lot of things that people do to try to get right or to have righteousness, but you can't have righteousness in and of yourself. You've got to depend upon a Savior and His blood to cleanse you and wash you. You've got to have the power of the Holy Ghost. You've got to take on the name of Jesus in baptism. But once you've experienced this born-again salvation that I'm preaching about this morning, you can live in righteousness. You can live above sin. That thing that used to suppress you, that thing that used to hold you down, that thing that used to hold you back, that thing that hindered you all of your life, it doesn't matter what it is. You can be delivered of it. You can be set free of it in the presence of Almighty God. nicotine, amen, alcoholism, drug addiction, fears and worries and anxieties of the mind, God is able to deliver you of it here this morning, right here in the presence, in the glory of God. Somebody give him a wave offering right now. I feel his glory in this place. Bible tells me beyond that veil, of course, was that sacred piece of furniture known as the Ark of the Covenant. And atop of the Ark of the Covenant was the mercy seat. Is there anybody in this place that needs to access the mercies of God? This is a place of mercy. This is a place where you can find mercy. There's none of us in this place that got here by ourselves or on our own, or we're not here because we're good. We're here because God is good. Matter of fact, let me restate that. We're here because God is great. Because he is awesome. And he's been merciful to us. And I just feel to say that this morning, I feel like there's folks here that perhaps are saying, well, you don't understand. It may be that the well of mercy is run dry in my life. As many times as I've been to the altar, and as many times as I've started over, and as many times as I've asked God to forgive me, and as many times I've needed his blood to wash me, and as many times as I have needed forgiveness, and as many times as I have repented. Can I tell you, join the club this morning? Amen. We may be suited up here on this Easter Sunday morning. We may have our best tie and shoes on, but we're all here because of the mercies of God. Amen. Don't let the person that sits down the pew fool you. Amen. They needed the mercy of God just like you need the mercies of God. They had to come to an altar. They had to weep tears. They had to repent of their sins. But God, amen, who looks beyond the exterior, God who looks beyond, amen, our faults and all that we have done, and says, I see potential. I see hope. If I can shed my mercy upon them, if I'll just give them another chance, they can stand up. They can rise above. They can overcome through the mercy of the Lord. Come on, is anybody thankful for his mercy today? I said, is anybody appreciative for his mercy here this morning? Not only that, but within that Ark of the Covenant was the tablets of stone containing within them the commands of God that was written there by God, that come from God himself as he met with Moses. Those tablets of stone being in that mercy seat, representative of the word of God. Aren't you thankful when the word, when you need a word, when you need direction, when you need help? Oh, the Bible says that it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It knew where you were when you walked in this place. It knew what was going on in your life when you came through the doors today. It knows what your thoughts are. It knows what the intents are. It knows what your plans are this afternoon. It knows what the real motives of each of us are. Amen. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Has anybody got intentions here this morning? I wanna live for God. I really do want to serve the Lord. I really do wanna commit my life to God. I really do want to consecrate to him. I do want to serve him, Brother Calhoun. I do want to be right. I do want to be saved. The word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents. And so God, Taylor, makes a message. He gives us a word. He points us in the right direction of hope and help here this morning. God speaks to us specifically. Don't just shrug it off and say, well, I've done my duty and I've came to church on Sunday morning. Oh, no, there's much more going on here than that. The presence of the Lord is here, and the word of God is being spoken from this sacred desk this morning, and it has the potential to find you wherever you are in this room. The Lord can speak to you. It doesn't matter how distant and away from God that you may be. The word of God God is able to speak to you. It's able to find you. You said, I'm lost in all of the stuff of life. The Word of God is able to find you. You don't know how far back in sin I am. I'm telling you, the Word of God has the ability to find you this morning. Then, of course, there was Aaron's rod that was in that ark that had budded, representing to you and I that God is able, through His power, to bring life into dead situations. Representing to you and I the power of Almighty God, that when it seems hopeless, when it seems like there's absolutely no way that it can happen, it's beyond human reasoning, it's beyond human logic that it can ever take place. We're reminded of Aaron's rod that was right there in the glory of the Lord, in the presence of God. It was there. It was accessible. When that veil was rent, it was a reminder that you too can access that power. You too can experience that power of God that you need. It doesn't matter how hopeless the situation seems in your home. It doesn't matter how hopeless the marriage situation may seem. It doesn't matter how down you are in your finances. God is able through His power to bring life. God is able to restore. He's able to bring back. Then there was that pot of manna that represents to us the provision of God. That when His people in a wilderness wasteland got hungry, that at the appropriate time and consistently when they needed it, He was able to provide for them. Is there somebody in this place, you need the Lord to provide some things for you? You need the Lord to work some miracles in your life. You need the Lord to open some doors for you that seem shut right now. You need the Lord to make a way where there seemeth to be no way. Can I tell you, that's what He specializes in? That's exactly what He's able to do. And so the enemy, if he can keep you from experiencing any of these things that I have mentioned here this morning, then he will be successful and keeping you from ever rising to your potential. He'll be successful in eventually destroying your life and holding you back. But I believe it's time for some things to be rent this morning. I believe it's time for the door to be open this morning. I think it's time for full access to be granted to somebody that is in this place. How many believes with me that my God is still able to save? That my God is still able to deliver. That my God is still able to heal. It doesn't matter what the doctor has said. It doesn't matter what the prognosis is. It doesn't matter what they say is happening in your physical body. We know the one that is the great physician, and He is able to heal. It doesn't matter what you came here heavy burdened with. God is able to lift that burden off of you. He's able to restore you. He's able to revive your soul. Oh, I think we ought to take a little time this morning. I know a lot of times we try to be formal on Easter Sunday morning, but I think it'd be all right. I think it'd be permissible. Matter of fact, I think it'd be the will of God that somebody lift up their voice. Somebody give Him some praise. Somebody, amen, thank the Lord that He is an accessible God. Woo! As I read through that passage in Matthew 27, not only was the veil rent, but I find another very interesting thing that we sometimes overlook, and I realize the veil was the main thing. But it says also that the rocks were rent. You know, it takes a lot to rend a rock. Yeah. Anybody ever drilled a well? Anybody ever... I remember my father had a mobile home park that he owned at one time, and it became our responsibility to put those storm-secure deals, to tie them down and to drive those stakes into the ground. But the ground was very rocky. And I'm telling you, with a sledgehammer and all the strength you can muster, It took sometimes hours to drive one little 4-foot stake down into the ground because you'd hit a rock. It's hard to bust through. It's hard to rend rocks. They're dense. Amen. And rocks are often used to destroy things. Can I hear an amen? In the scripture, people were stoned with rocks. Rocks were used in executing judgment. We read about people that were stoned in the Bible, such as Stephen and the Apostle Paul that was also stoned. But the Bible says at Calvary, amen, rocks that could have been picked up in judgment, rocks that were used in executing judgment, that were hurled in judgment, amen, that were used in anger and hostility and paying people back and inflicting pain, rocks that were used to kill and to destroy. The scripture says that they were rent by the power of what happened at Calvary. Can I tell you that the blood has the power to do that? I said the power that judgment has is broken by the power of the blood of Jesus. The Lord, through the power of his blood, is able to break the strongholds. God is able, through the power of the blood of Jesus, to deliver you from the chains that are wrapped around you this morning. God is able, through the power of the blood of Jesus, to give you a breakthrough through whatever that you need here today. God, the Bible says, led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. What does that say? That is saying the very thing that holds you bound, the very thing that tries to bring captivity into your life, that he put the thing that tries to chain you and hold you back, he put it behind bars. He imprisoned that. He led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. I'm thankful that the power of the Holy Ghost has the power to bring freedom into people's life. The power of the Holy Ghost has the power to bring peace into people's life. Oh, the power of the Holy Ghost has the ability to raise somebody out. Then it goes on to say, and the graves were open. You know, death, we know that death, according to the book of James, is the final act of sin. It said, when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, notice the progression here, bringeth forth death. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That's the finishing touches of sin on a person's life. It's to bring death, which is separation, which is eternal. Amen. Sin leaves one feeling hopeless. Sin leaves one feeling devastated. Sin leaves one feeling beyond repair. I've already shared it with you this morning, but the scripture tells us that we were all dead in the trespasses of sin. Before we received repentance, before we came to an altar and repented of our sins and received forgiveness of those sins, and before we were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of those sins, and before we received this wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost, we were all dead in sin. No matter who you are, where you came from, how good your parents are, how good of a life you've led, dead in trespasses and sin. Oh, but God in his resurrection power, God in his restorative power, God in his ability to renew, amen, was able. And we see something here that shows us a little foretaste of it and what can happen to us. The Bible says that when that veil was rent, that graves were open. Amen. Indicating to us that right here in this room today, you may be dead in sin, but God can give you new life. God can give you new hope. God can give you something to live for. We call it being born again. Nicodemus didn't understand it. He said, how can a man be born when he's old? You don't know how much past. You don't know how much life I've already lived. How many things that are strewn along in my past. How am I going to overcome all of that? You mean I can go back to just being a baby again? You mean I can go back and be born all over again in a spiritual sense. Nicodemus, that's exactly what I'm saying. Every sin, everything in your life, every transgression, the Lord is able to make all things new, the scripture says. The blood is able to cleanse and to wash and to make you whole. Come on, does anybody know what I'm talking about? When you came down to an altar, you felt wretched, you felt heavy, you felt burdened, you were saddened. But when you repented, you began to feel something lifted. Amen. When you wept tears and said, God, I'm sorry, you began to feel something lifting off of your heart. When you got in those baptismal waters and went down in the name of Jesus, when you came up, you never felt that clean. You never felt that whole. You never felt the freshness and the new beginning like what you felt when your sins were washed away. Praise God. And the devil would like to tell somebody, you've gone too far. You've done too much. There's no more opportunity. This story of the resurrection gives us hope this morning. I said the story of the resurrection gives us all hope here this morning. Why don't you lift up your hands with me and let's thank God together. Oh, come on. Let the presence of the Lord move in here. Oh, let the Spirit of the Lord have its way. So I've spent the last 20 minutes or so talking about, preaching about things that only God can rend. Things that only God can do. We can't save anybody. As I heard one preacher say, I can't heal a fly and I can't raise a gnat. I can't deliver anybody from their sin. I didn't shed blood for any person that is here. I didn't die for any person that's in this building. There's things that only God can rend from your life. There's things that only God can do. And there's also things that only we can rend. When we rend our fleshly garments, we activate the power of God, the glory of the Lord. When we repent of our sins and we praise sincerely before God, when we make a consecration unto God with all of our heart, we commit ourselves to Him. We humble ourselves. That's a word that America doesn't like very much, but it's still needed. Good old-fashioned humility in the presence of God. I'm not entering your presence haughty. I'm not entering in lifted up, but with brokenness. You know, brokenness is attractive to God. Matter of fact, He cannot ignore it, the scripture says. But He's near unto them that are of a broken and contrite spirit. The Bible says in Acts 14 that there was those that had heard, and it was shed abroad the great miracles which the apostles had done. And there was someone, when they seen them arriving, that made the statement, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men because of the anointing and the power of God that rested on these gentlemen. And the apostle cried out, rent his garment in an act of showing humility before God, and said, we are men like as you are. But we can tell you about one that is able to deliver, that is able to set free. If we want the move of God, if we want the delivering power of God, if we want the supernatural to be at work in our services and in our lives, we must rend our fleshly garments. I referred to it last Sunday morning about the king of Nineveh, a wicked, sinful, exceedingly sinful city. A city that was debauched, a city that was steeped in all kinds of mysticism and all kinds of sin that had a hold upon them. When you read about them, you'll find that they were some of the most bloody, heartless, cold people. And it would seem that God wouldn't even be able to be reached because of how far they had gone. But when that king got up off his throne and put on sackcloth and began to pray and began to repent before God, began to rend his heart before the Lord, the Lord said, I know the message I gave Jonah, and I understand what I've said. But this man's prayer and these people's prayer have changed my mind. And I'm going to stay judgment. I'm going to give them an opportunity to be restored. I'm going to give them an opportunity to find grace in my sight. Sometimes it's just a weak prayer from a frail human being. But God hears it because that's what he's listening for. Some of you might remember 2014, when that Malaysian plane went down in the Indian Ocean. I think it was flight 370. And it was filled to capacity of people. And for days they looked and they searched, and there was a vast area that they were searching over, trying to find where this plane, trying to locate it, because communications had been cut off. Evidently before, long before it ever actually went down, and they didn't know exactly where it was. They couldn't pinpoint on the grid because it was such a large area. But they said there's a black box in that plane, and it has got a beacon in it. It is a locator beacon. And when it is submerged, it may be miles down in the ocean. And they said this is one of the deepest places that the plane could have gone down, was in this particular area that they thought that it was. And there were ships in the area that were patrolling on a grid, searching, trying to find. There were planes that were flying over above. And finally, they thought, one of the ships thought that they heard just a faint pinging. That's what they called it, from that black box that was deep beneath the surface, submerged way down there in the ocean. And they heard just that faint, they got that faint signal. It was reaching up. And they said that perhaps it's right here because we're getting this signal. Can I tell you, you may be weak this morning. You may feel like you're a long ways from where you need to be this morning. You may feel like, how am I ever going to really be able to tap into what I need from God today? But I'm telling you, all of heaven is listening for that one cry that goes up, that one voice that could be heard, that one person that say, God, I need you. God, I'm hungry for you. God, I repent. God, I need to change my life. God, I can't go on like this any longer. I can't be this person. This is leading down a dead-end street, and this is leading to further hurt and further pain and further anguish, and my life is not getting better, but it's getting worse. You may say, would God hear me from here? Would God be able to respond to me from here? I'm so submerged. I'm so underneath, so much pressure, so much anguish, so much sorrow, so many things. I'm so far away. In the book of Joel, it says, rend your hearts and not your garments, for God will show mercy unto you. Would you stand to your feet right now, and somebody lift up your hands. Somebody lift up your voice. Come on, church. I need somebody to help me. I know we got plans today, and I understand all of that. I understand that we got a lot going on here, but I need somebody to help me today. I need somebody to pray with me. Oh, rend your hearts and not your garments and return. And the Lord will show mercy. He will show grace. Oh, yeah. Amen. He'll give you access. He'll give you an opportunity. He'll give you a chance. If need be, he'll give you another chance. Somebody needs to cry out to him. Somebody needs to call on him. I wonder if right now as I open these altars, there are folks in this place. You don't want to wait. Come on. You just want to come on to this altar. I'm inviting everybody that will to come. I'm inviting everybody that's willing to come. I think it'd be good on this Easter Sunday that we come down and thank the Lord for the opportunity to enter into his presence today, to feel his touch this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, sir. Come on, ma'am. Come on, guest. Altars are open today. Amen. The presence of the Lord is here this morning. God can restore you. God can renew you. God can let you begin all over again, give you a fresh start today. You can experience newness this morning, restoration here this morning. There's mercy that is available. The power of God is here in this place. Let's come. Let's respond. Let's give God a chance to move in our lives. Let's give God a chance. Come on, church. Come in just a little closer. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. We're hungry for you, God. We thirst for you. We pray, God, for your help. We pray, God, for your touch. I want to ask you to reach over to somebody, even if it's between the pews, and I want you to pray one with another. Come on, let's pray one with another. Let's seek the face of God together this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's pray. Let's talk to God. Oh, let's ask the Lord to touch us. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Let's ask God to restore and rebuild and renew some things in our lives. Let's ask the Lord to work in our behalf. We need him today. We need your strength, God. We need your touch. We need the help that only you can give. Oh, yes, yes, yes. God, you're able. You're able. You're able to help somebody today. You're able to turn somebody's life around today. You're able to show mercy to someone here this morning. Hallelujah. Come on, we're in the presence of God. It's all right to weep. It's all right. It's all right to cry out. It's all right to pray aloud. It's all right to show emotion. Amen. That's what God gave you. Hallelujah. That's how he created you. That's how you communicate with him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God, I need you today.